All right. So, everybody, this is Gabby. Say hi, Gabby.
Hello.
I'm going to have Gabby sing How Great Is Our God, the chorus, one more time, and I'm going to sing with her. All right? Go. How great is our God. I got this.
Sing with me.
How great is our God. And all will sing, how great is our God. Thank you, Gabby. Thank you. Now, as you can see, there was no harmony there, right? there was no harmony. She couldn't contain the voice that I had. I'm a great singer. And therefore, there was a little disruption and confusion, like, what's going on? There was no harmony there, right? And that's what we're going to be speaking about today. And I could not think of any better illustration than having Gabby sing, who's a trained singer, who knows how to sing, who spent time singing, and then me coming alongside her with my skills, or lack thereof, and trying to sing alongside her to show you that that's what the church looks like when we're not in harmony. That's what we sound like when we're not in harmony. That's what happens when we're not in harmony. We're starting a new series today. It's called Allelon Together. Allelon is the Greek word for one another. This series is going to be a two-month series that is going to birth how we do our small groups going forward. And I want to teach you the heart. You guys know I like to feed before I lead. I want to teach you the heart of why we're making this transition and what it means to be the church, to actually be the church. Not to go to church, not to do church, but to actually be the church. So last month, when we were going through the It's Getting Hot in Here series, and we got to that place where we were saying, how do we change the atmosphere? And we agreed that we change the atmosphere by allowing God to change us through the Spirit. Well, that spirit, we came to the agreement, was the spirit of peace, or you could even say the spirit of unity. So I wanted to kick this series off from the beginning, from the basics of what it means to be a church family. So we're going to open up today in Acts 2, verses 37 through 47. Acts 2, verses 37 through 47. I thank you for your time this morning. I thank you for dealing with my singing. But it'll all make sense as we go through this scripture. It opens up, it says, now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then, those who had received his word were baptized. And that day, there were added about 3,000 souls. Wow, 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Keep going. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's bow our heads for prayer real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning just for waking us up. Father, we thank you for being a great God. Father, I ask that you continue to remove me, Father. Continue to just have your way with this church. Have your way with this message. I ask that hearts are convicted, Father, and that souls are added today here at Church on the Rock, Father. We ask that you just give us a message that will help us to change and fall in line in harmony, Father, with your word. We thank you and we praise you. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. pray. Amen. So today we're going to be looking at basically the beginning of the church, basically the beginning of the Holy Spirit working in the church. And we're going to be in Acts 2, like I said, and we're going to show how the Spirit brings harmony and how there's harmony amongst us when we allow the Spirit to have his way amongst us. So we're going to walk through some points on how the Spirit brings harmony in our family here and how that all operates and how that works. We're going to start by saying the Spirit produces harmony in the message of the family. The Spirit produces harmony in the message of the family. This is what I want you to see. Go to verse 37 real quick. Verse 37 says this. It says that now when they heard this, what did they hear? They heard the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message, one message, not messages, not different tones, not different singing octaves. They heard one message, one message. In fact, everybody who is a believer today has heard one message, one, that you are a sinner, that you literally nailed Christ to the cross. You did. I did. We nailed Christ to the cross. In fact, in Acts 2:36, right before this, take me up a verse real quick. In context, he says, therefore, after he talks to the Jews and basically gives them the gospel, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, because he's comparing Christ to David. He says, look, David was awesome, but David dead. David was awesome, but David is still in the ground. Christ has been raised, right? Resurrected, right? He overcame death and he's been risen, and God has made him both Lord and Christ, the Messiah, Christ. This Jesus whom you crucified, take the you out and put your name in there. This Jesus who Rashad crucified, that's who was raised. You nailed him to the cross, God raised him up. You nailed him to the cross, God raised him up. Y'all, I'm going to do Arkansas for you. Y'all nailed him to the cross, God raised him up. That's the gospel. That's the message in verse 37 that says, it says, now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. They were pierced. That's the work of the Spirit right there. They were pierced to think of what happened to Christ and know that it was because of them that he willingly went to the cross. That message should pierce your heart. We were pierced by the same message. These people here at Pentecost, they were pierced, all of them, they were pierced by this message, the same message that should pierce your hearts today. It's the same message. The message has not changed. That's the harmony of the Spirit, is that it looks at you and you and you and you and says, I don't care how much money you make, Steve. And it says, I don't care what your politics are, Carla. And looks at all of you and says, you're all sinners. And there's harmony in that. I don't care what clothes you're wearing this morning. I don't care what car you pulled up in this morning. A hoopty or some luxury car. You're still a sinner. And that should pierce your heart on two sides. One, that he died for your sins, not his sins, right? He went to the cross for you. It says in the Bible, we wouldn't even do it for a friend or for a good person, but he went to the cross for his enemies. That should pierce your heart. But then it should also pierce my heart that it is at the feet of Christ that none of y'all are better than me. And I'm not better than you. It should pierce the heart. Because in this world, I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too black. I'm too white. I'm too broke. I'm too rich. I'm too this. I'm too that in the world. But at the feet of Christ, I'm just the same as you. A sinner in need of a Savior. That should pierce the heart. That message right there, the Spirit uses to pierce the heart, and that's his ministry. John 16:8 says this. Look at this. John 16:8 says this. And he, who? The Spirit, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. His job is to pierce the heart with the same message. I don't care your background, your demographic, your culture. I don't care. It's going to be the same message. The message is not compromised. The message remains the same. The harmony is in the message. That's why I can go to 10th and Post and go to church and hear the same message. Or I can come on out here to Brownsburg and hear the same message. Or I can go to Pittsburgh and hear the same message if they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that pierces my heart. That if they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't care what church I walk in, I'm the same as you. It pierces. And it creates harmony. And it creates this family atmosphere. It becomes the unity of the spirit because we're pierced by the same message. Go back to Acts 37 right there. Yes. So it says, now when they heard this, when they heard what? The message, the gospel. They were pierced to the heart and said to Peter, they responded with this, brothers, what should we do? Like today, they'd be like, hey, bro, that was a message, man. What I got to do now? That's translation for today. That's how y'all talk to me, believe it or not. And what did Peter say? He responded, and he said, Peter said to them, repent. And just so we don't do the Bible words, because some people are like, I hear that word all the time, but I don't know what it means. All right, so well, that's a little God. Imagine this was God, right? Like, and in your entire life, you are walking away from him in sin. You're born, literally, walking away from God, right? You are born going this direction, okay? Going away from God in disobedience, in your sins, in your lies, in your cheating, and whatever you do that is your sin, you are walking this direction. Peter says, repent, make a U-turn, turn around, and go back to him. That's what he's saying. That's what repentance means. Don't let the Bible words go over your head. You're walking this way, and he says, yo, stop and turn around and go back to God. Repent. And confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess homologeo, the same. Say the same thing that God says about Christ, that he is Lord. Like we just said in 36, that he is Lord and he is the Christ. God said it, so when you confess, you say the same thing that God says. So you repent, and you stop saying, Jesus ain't this, Jesus ain't that, and you turn around and you say, you know what, Jesus is this, Jesus is that, and you draw closer to God, you repent, you confess with your mouth that Christ is Lord, and you believe that he was raised from the dead, that he overcame death, you call on Christ, and you will be saved. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. That's what he said to them when they said, man, what I got to do now? Because they were pierced by the same message. So then, in turn, they believed the same message. Because what does it say? Keep going. It goes on to say this. It says, next up, 40. That's what it said. Oh, for the promises, oh, my fault, thank you. I was looking at the window 40. For the promises for you and your children and for all who are far off, for as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. I'm sorry, I was in verse 40 in my head. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation, verse 41. And then he goes on to say, so then, those who had what? Received, those who had believed, those who were pierced to the heart by the message, received the same message. They received that message, and we know they received it because not only did they believe, but they followed the first step of obedience, which was being baptized, like Peter said. And that day, there were added about 3,000 souls. Man, I get happy when I look around, I see about 130 people. 3,000 souls in one day? 3,000 souls in one day because of being pierced by the same message we're preaching today. Pierced by the exact same message. We don't have to culturize it. We don't have to compromise it. It's the same message. If I go out in the world like I should be, telling them I'm no better than you, and I call on Christ like you need to call on Christ, you start seeing some unity here. It starts to pierce. The homosexual people in my life who I've been able to reach for Christ are the ones I've been able to tell, I ain't saying you worse than me. I'm saying I got desires against God just like you. Let's do this together. Those are the people that I reach. Not the ones that I'm looking at saying, you're going to this and you're going to that and you're wrong and you're... Nah, that ain't reaching nobody. That ain't piercing nobody. I pierce the hearts when I look at them and say, brother, you struggle with this. Guess what? I'm struggling just like you, and I'm on the same path you on if I don't repent. So you need to repent like me. We are equal. We are equal in Christ. That message pierces. It pierces the heart. Because in that point, I'm not making myself above, below. We're side by side at the same cross with our sins, saying, I'm no better than you. I need a savior just like you. I've been pierced by this message. I want this message to pierce you. I want you to receive this message the same way I received this message. And in that message, it's the message that makes members. It's not my preaching. I could preach loud. I could preach soft. I could be alliteration. I could just be like, just read it. It's the same message. The message is what makes the members of the family. They were added by the message, not the messenger. That's why Romans 1, go to Romans 1 real quick. Romans 1 says this, for I'm not ashamed of the what? The gospel, the message. I'm not ashamed of the message. Why? Because in it, in what? In the message, not the messenger. In the message. In it, for it is the power of who? God. For what? Salvation. Souls are added because of the message, not the messenger, not the ministry, not the building, none of that. Add souls. The message, the gospel. You're a sinner. Christ died for you while you were his enemy. He died for you so that you could have eternal life with him. And all you have to do is receive it, not earn it, receive it. It's the power of God for salvation to everybody who believes. There's that unity again. Don't care where you come from. Everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then he goes on to say, for in it, the message, the righteousness of God, the right standing of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Quotes Habakkuk. We did that in January. That's awesome. So the first thing is the Spirit produces harmony in the message of the family. The message is what makes the members. It's the gospel that makes the members of the family. Let's think about this real quick. I'm a black dude. What? I didn't know he was black. I'm a black dude, right? Now I can't even get it out. Thanks, Bill. I love hip-hop. I do Christian hip-hop myself. I love sports. I'm not going to start getting into some stereotypes because that'll just start making me mad. So I love a lot of stuff, right, okay? And then predominantly this congregation is white, right? And there's a lot of stuff you like that I have no cultural background in. Y'all want to go camping? I keep telling y'all, I'm not going camping. I'm not doing, thank you, mama. Look, thank you. Lisa's like, I'm not, but we don't camp. There's a few of us who do, but we don't camp. Normally. Y'all want to go camping. Y'all want to eat green bean casserole. That's my wife. I want to eat some chitlins with some hot sauce and the coleslaw. That's me, right? Amen? I want to eat some chitlins with the hot sauce and the coleslaw. So we ain't got a whole lot in common. Let's just be real. Y'all laughing, I'm being serious now, okay? We don't have a whole lot in common. But the harmony of this family, the reason that you voted last week for me to go full time is because of the message that added us to one another. The message that added us to one another. The reason we're in Brownsburg, predominantly white Indiana, with a black pastor of a predominantly white congregation is because of the message that made the family. It's the message that brought the unity. It's the Spirit operating through the message. That is why we have old and young, rich and poor, all these different things, because of the message that Christ died for all of us. And in that, we have unity beyond anything this world could offer. We can't be more unified. Even me and my wife weren't as unified until we both accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. Then we went from physical intimacy to spiritual intimacy, which is way deeper. The message did that. So the harmony, the Spirit produces harmony in the message of the family. That message makes the members, and therefore the Spirit produces harmony in the members of the family. Look, it's the Spirit doing it. The Spirit produces harmony in the members of the family. Go to verse 42 real quick. So verse 42 says this. I'm going to come over here and show y'all some love. I'm sorry. I'm going to come over here real quick. It says, they were continually, who? Who's they? They, those who were pierced with the same message. Those who believed the same message. Those who were added to the family by the same message. They were continually doing what? Devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Devoting, the Greek word there for devoting literally means to attach to hold on to busy yourself with. They were busy. They were making themselves busy with the apostles' teaching. They were making themselves busy with fellowship. They were making themselves busy with the breaking of bread, whether you say that's taking the Lord's Supper right there or just eating a meal, whichever one. They were making themselves busy with prayer or to the prayers. They were making themselves busy with each other. They spent their time devoted to each other is what that sums up to. They wanted to, apostles teaching, they wanted to grow together. Fellowship, they wanted to share together. Breaking of bread, they wanted to remember, if you're looking at the Lord's Supper, they wanted to remember what Christ did on that cross together. To the prayers, they wanted to speak to God together. You see this? This is the church. This is the church. Think about this right here. It says in, go to 1 Peter 2. So look at this. If we claim that we've received Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we claim that we are saved, then Peter says, like newborn babies, you should long, and that's like a in your guts, like, I want some Five Guys right now. I do. I didn't eat this morning. Like newborn babies, you should long for the pure milk of the word, so that it may grow in respect to your salvation. Like, we got babies that are here today. We got Jack's in the building, Olivia's in the building. Those are new babies for the family, for those of you who don't know. They were, like, born literally within the last month. And I bet you they cry when they want milk, don't they? Like, wham, right? Like, they're devoted to getting their milk, ain't they? Right? They're devoted to getting, right? Am I right? Devoted to getting their milk, right? We should be like newborn babies. Yes, we should be, she's trying to correct my theology over here. We should be like newborn babies, longing for the apostles' teaching. And you're like, but Rashad, you ain't an apostle. Yeah, but they wrote a Bible. Their teaching is right here in the Word. Why? Because of the Spirit, right? There's the harmony again. We can sit under the same teaching that they sat under in his word. Peter, who said that? He was an apostle. If we read what he said, then we're under his teaching. So it says, long for that milk if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. You see that if there? That's looking at you and making you examine yourself. See, you're like, Rashad, I just don't like reading God's word. Uh-oh. And for those of you who don't know, I step on toes because I love you, okay? I step on toes because I love you. If I don't step on your toes right here, if I tiptoe around this, then you can walk out of here with just a hype motivational speech, and you can walk your way, continue walking away from God, right? So I step on toes so that you will repent and so that the message pierces you. It says, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, if you have received that message, if that message has pierced your heart, if it has done it, then you're going to long for more. Have you had Five Guys fries? Have you had them? Have you had them with the Cajun seasoning on them? You want more. You want more. You like, man, like I shouldn't be eating all this, but I want more because it tastes so good. How much more should the word of God taste when you've really been pierced to the heart, knowing that he died for your sins and has offered you free salvation? You should long. You should wham like a baby. You should whine. You should be up late at night. I'm telling your testimony, ain't I? You should be up late at night, all hours, just laboring in that word because you want to know more about your Lord and your Savior. If you have tasted his kindness, you got to question that. And I'd rather you be offended now and talk to me today, and we talk through this today. I'd rather you recognize it now and accept the Lord today as a result of the conviction on your heart, because you look at that if and you're not sure. It's not earning anything. You don't do this to earn your salvation. You do this as a result of your salvation. It's something that happens in response to something that he did in you. It's not, I'm going to read my word and earn my salvation, so the more I read, the more saved I am. No, 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 no. It doesn't work that way. This is a response to what's going on inside of you. So that doesn't mean you're going to pick up your Bible and read through it in the next week. It doesn't work like that. It'll be a gradual thing. It's progression, not perfection, but there should be some type of longing going on in your life. Some type of longing should be going on in your life. And look what that longing is. Longing for the word, right? Go back to that Acts 42. Longing for the word or the apostles' teaching. Longing for each other. Check yourself. Longing for each other. I want to spend time with you, Steve. Ryan, I want to spend time with you, bro. Vince, I love spending time with you. Talking about fantasy football and stuff. Most of you in here can say we've had some type of intimate conversation, even if it's just by Facebook. We've talked. And I love talking to you. And you probably are like, yeah, because I just said hi, and then you went on some long, you typed too fast, right? I long for you guys. I long for the fellowship. I long to be with you guys. We have to realize, when we say we're coming to church in the morning, we're not coming to a property. We're coming to people. I don't come here to a building. I come to people. I come to a body. I don't wake up in the morning. I don't labor over the text for the property. I labor over the text for the people. It's you that I'm here for. I'm up here for you. And I would pray that you're here for each other and for God, obviously, but as a result of being here for God, because he's given us the spirit of unity, we're here to be a family together. And I long for that. I'm devoted. I'm attached to that. Sunday's not enough for me. That's why I bug you on Facebook. That's why I bug you on GroupMe. Because I want more of you. And if the busyness of our schedules won't allow it, then I'm going to bug you however I can because I love you. Mike, how long was we on Facebook last night? And I was just running through my sermon. It was like 1 a.m. Thank you for being here. I just love spending time with you all with no agenda, just fellowship, just sharing together with that koinonia, just that communion together. I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. So I don't come to the property or the building. I come to the people, and you should be devoted to that. But some of us in this church can't stand each other. Where's the unity of the Spirit in that? Where's the unity of the Spirit in that? If we have the same Spirit dwelling in all of us, because it's one Spirit convicted by one message, and if that one Spirit is dwelling in all of us, then why we got problems with each other? Over external petty stuff. Like we petty, like we Tom Petty, we petty. Ephesians 4 says, preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we already have unity. It's us. I said this last week. This is us. We're the reason that we can't get along. Why can't we all just get along? Because of us. It ain't the Spirit's fault. It's us. So if you have tasted in the kindness of the Lord, you should be able to forgive easily. Y'all can't step on my toes enough to get rid of me. Y'all better keep stepping because I ain't going nowhere. So sharing together, remembering together, speaking together, there was harmony in the members of the family. Go to 43 real quick. I just want to side note this real quick. Look at this. In 43 it says everyone, that everyone is not just those who believed, it was everyone. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Some of your Bibles may say fear, right? But this is like this reverential respect, like wow, like our God is awesome. Our God, I don't even know if that's the words or not. Our God is greater. You know, it's this awe, like with God on our side, nobody can stand against us. Many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Some of these scriptures and acts are descriptive, meaning they describe what was happening, not necessarily prescriptive, meaning it's something that should be doing right now. But I want you to see something. You want to see a wonder or a sign? If you're looking for that and you're here today, there are marriages that were on the brink of being divorced in this church who are here today stronger than ever. That is a miracle. That is a sign. That is a wonder. Only God can overcome adultery. And I'm talking about myself, so don't go, you ain't got to look around. I'm talking about myself. Only God can have my wife, who's sick today, but only God can have my wife stick it out in our marriage after adultery. That's a miracle. That's a miracle, and only God can overcome all of my filth and have me preaching and pastoring over you. That's a miracle. So you need look no further, and that's not to put any spotlight on me. That's to put all spotlight on him. You looking for miracles? I'll be Exhibit A. And the more you share together and give testimonies to one another, you're going to hear more and more miracles happening in the family, and you're going to be in awe of what God has been doing right amongst you if you just talk to each other, if you just fellowship together, if you just spend some time with each other. You will be in complete shock at what God is doing right here. I get the privilege of knowing because people talk to me, because I talk to them. But you all can have that privilege by longing to be together, the one in others, the one in others. So keeping it moving here, the Spirit produces harmony in the matters of the family and what mattered most to them, the harmony and the matters of the family. Let's go to the next verse, 44. It says, and all those who have believed were together and had all things in common. Keep going. It goes on to say that, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with them, and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. So once again, this is a descriptive text. That doesn't mean I want you to go out, sell your house, sell your car, bring it all back to the church and say, hey, I did exactly what the sermon said. This is a descriptive text. It's describing what happened. But here's the prescription from that text. They were in unity on what mattered most. Christ over cash, the Messiah over money, people over property. They mattered most to each other. They mattered most to each other. They were in unity over what mattered most. They sold everything and they sacrificed so that nobody was in need. Acts 4 gives us another example. Look at this. Acts 4 says, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. Keep going. It goes on to say, and with great power the apostles were given testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. Keep going. And then it says, for there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. They were just concerned about each other. I will sacrifice so that you don't go without. I will do what I have to do so that you don't go without. I try to live that out in my life. I don't say that to brag, but I say that because as a leader, my job is to stand before you, not over you, not over you. It's to stand before you as an example. Those of you who were at the Q&A, a lot of the questions and concerns were like, whoa, brother, why would you take that pay cut? Whoa, brother, why would you go without this or without? Because I'm trying to show you that I trust that God will sustain first and foremost, but secondly, I will sacrifice for you. Why? Because I don't come to this building, I come to you. And I'm willing to stand behind what I say. When I call you brother, sis, mama, I ain't calling nobody daddy. I ain't doing that. Big bro. When I say those things and I use those family terms, it's not because it's just sounds cute. I mean it. I mean it. I actually mean it. So what would I do for my biological brother, sister, father, mother? I would sacrifice for them. It's the principle. I would give my all for my mother. So to the ones in here I call mama, I would give my all for you. I would give my all for you. I take care of my home. I make sure my wife and my daughter are taken care of. And then you're next. I take care of you. I'll sit the long hours with you. You ain't got to apologize. This is what I'm supposed to do. You ain't even got to thank me because the Spirit says that this is what we're supposed to be doing. This is the harmony of the family. You matter more than my time. You matter. You matter. And most of you in here know that. But do you know that about more than me? Do you know that about each other? Because if that's the case, then you're following the wrong person, the wrong. You shouldn't be doing it for me or just towards me. You should be doing it to each other. Because the Spirit overcomes your differences. The Spirit overcomes the awkwardness. I don't really know such and such, like, you know, I just told y'all, we ain't got a whole lot in common if you separate Christ. But if you look to Christ, we got everything in common. We share everything together. I got people coming up to me. Steve came up to me and was like, hey, man, I know you took a big pay cut. I got DirecTV. Come watch the 49ers at my house. If my team is playing, we're going to record it, and you can watch it later. But you can come watch it in my house. I will share that with you. Elaine, hey, I get all kinds of little, like, gift cards. You guys just want to go get something to eat? Let me know. Hey, Billy, like, hey, I do hair. Tell your wife come in. I do her hair. Because I want to share things together, right? Okay, well, that's great, and I'm happy you do that for me. I'd be happier if you did it for each other. Because now you're being the church. We say, I belong to Church on the Rock. But you don't belong to that name. You belong to the people. When you say, I am a member of Church on the Rock. You're not a member of a name or a corporation or a building. You're a member of the people. You've partnered in a covenant relationship with each other, not the pastor, with everybody. That's being the church. That's the harmony of the Spirit right there. So we have the harmony in the matters of the family, the harmony in the meetings of the family. That's the next point if you're taking notes. Go to the next verse there. I'm almost done. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. So you see, like, look at this. They were one mind. One mind. No different motives or agendas to get my ministry pushed or this ministry. One mind. We have a vision. Building his body in the church, breaking our barriers out the church. One mind. We have core values. Look, love, learn, live. It's the process of discipleship. Look, love, learn, live. One mind. If you're a part of the family, get in harmony with us. Get in harmony with us and operate under that vision. One mind. Let's go. Let's go this way. I've given you the scriptures to study. Read Ephesians 2 and you'll know why that's where we're at. But it's one mind. It's one mind. So one mind in the temple, but then look at this, and breaking bread from house to house. There go the five non-families right there. House to house. house to house. One mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. I would even say the temple was the organized, the house to house is the organic. And that's what we're trying to do here. We as a church, Church of the Rock, will put things in place so that you have an organized example. The goal is that you, on your own, without the name Church on the Rock attached to it, go out and do it in the house-to-house of your life. The organic things of your life. So day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together, look at this, with gladness and with sincerity. That word sincerity is actually more like humility, simplicity. Simplicity of heart. I didn't have somebody over so that I could tickle their ear to try to get them to vote one way or another. It was simply, I just want to go over and spend time with you. I'm not trying to win you over towards a view of mine or anything. I just want to spend time with you. It was a sincere, simple heart. One mind, gladness, sincere, simple. That is how they met. And there was a unified, a harmony in the meeting. In the last point here, there's a harmony in the motives of the family. A harmony in the motives of the family. Now look, this is when it gets good. This is when it gets real good. So it says they were praising God, all right? They were praising God. That's pleasing to the Lord. But look at this. And they had favor with all the people. That's not just the believers. That's the non-believers. So when we start doing these 5-9 families and we're gathering and we're loving each other and we do all this internal getting in unison and harmony, something has to happen that others can see us. Something has to happen that we get out of these walls and get into the world. Something has to happen that we can actually pull a Titus 2:10. A Titus 2:10, look at this real quick. Go to. Did I put that in there? The Titus 2? Titus 2:10? Yes, I did. Okay. Is that pilfering? Okay, pilfering, but showing all good faith so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. The gospel looks good. They made the gospel look good. We do it backwards. We try to look good and put together in here, in the family. Then we go out in the world and we just look all any old kind of way. We come in here and we want to put on our spiritual dress up clothes like we got it all together for each other, when this is where we should be broken together. Then we want to go out in the world and just live and look any old kind of way. It's like you wear your good clothes spiritually in the church, you wear your grass cutting clothes for the world. That's what it looks like. When it should be the other way around, come in here broken. Let's build each other. Let's be harmonized. Let's be together. And let's go out there and make the gospel look good when we rejoice always, when we give thanks in everything. Let me show you something. Go back to that verse. I'm closing out now. I'm closing out. Praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord was doing what? He was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved, those who were being pierced by the same message, those who were believing the same message, those who were responding to the same message were being added by the same message. Now, let me show you something. Everybody in this room has been the all. God adds from the all. He adds from the all. So if you're just huddled up and just doing your thing like this, and the all can't see you, and the all aren't attracted to you, if they do see you, he can't add with nothing. He adds from the all. You were the all. I was the all. There was something attractive about the gospel of Jesus Christ that got my attention, that pierced my heart so that I could respond and be added by God from the all. I'm asking today that you become a part of the added and don't just dwell in the all. See, this is what I want Church on the Rock to be. I want this family to be a family where people feel like they belong even before they believe. They come in here, they don't even believe yet, but they're so attracted to the love and the generosity and the passion and how we're fired up for each other and fired up for God that they want to be a part of it and they don't even believe yet. Because that is when God will add from the all. Look how it looks. They were praising God. Hands in the air, Holy Spirit party over here. And they're like, yo, what's going on over there? I want to be a part of that. Because it looks good. Because that dude He didn't get paid today just like me. We work at the same place. How's he rejoicing God? How's he giving thanks and everything? I need to know what's going on with that because that's attractive. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to worry. I don't want to be isolated in this world. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be judged by the color of my skin or my weight or any of those things. And for some reason, when I go to church on the rock, none of that stuff matters to those people. I want to be a part of that. That's what I want to be a part of, a family. A family where we still have our problems because we're broken. We're built with broken people. Of course we have problems. Of course some people are going to come in here and say, I felt awkward or I felt like nobody would talk. Well, guess what? There's people in here who are shy too. Just because they're Christians, don't turn off their shy bone. They still struggle to go talk to you sometimes. But I promise you, if you give the process a chance and just devote yourselves to the teaching, to the fellowship, to the prayer, you will find a home. If not here, I promise you, God will place you somewhere. And we're the type of church, if we don't fit, we're going to find a place for you to fit. We ain't got to fight over you. We're not fighting for the building. We're fighting for the kingdom. So if you don't fit here, then let us get with you and pray with you and fellowship with you and love with you. And matter of fact, anybody that needs to take a Sunday off to go to another church with somebody, do it. Walk them in the building. Get them somewhere in the kingdom where they can be loved, because that's what we're worried about, because that's the unity of the Spirit. The name on the outside of the building don't mean nothing to me. I want you in the kingdom. I want you in the family. I want you to move from the all to the added because of the same message that pierced my heart. I'm praying that somebody today, I'm praying it's piercing somebody's heart right this moment. I'm praying somebody is sitting there and thinking, hold on, he died for me and there's nothing I have to do except receive his invitation to eternal life. Yes. Yes. And we can baptize you next week. If you can't wait till next week, we can baptize you today, tomorrow. They were being added day by day. There's no tradition to that. The eunuch was going down the road and said, look, there's water. I'm the same way. Lucy got a pool. We can make it happen now. Because we don't want to wait on filling up our tub. It takes too long. In seriousness, though, I don't want you to remain a part of the all if you're here and you're a part of that all. I don't want you to stay there. Some of you right now, there's somebody in this room who's a part of the all. I want you to be a part of the added because of the message. Not nothing else in this room. So don't be afraid of the people. Don't let these people stop you from receiving him today. You ain't even got to speak to me. Speak to him. You ain't got to walk to me. Walk to him. Become a part of the added today, and we will join in and partner in and be in harmony with you. I promise you that. I promise you that, because that is the DNA of Church on the Rock. And there's many other churches, if this is not your church or if this is not where you're comfortable, there's many other who have the same DNA, because it's the same Spirit working in all of us. So let the message pierce your heart. Respond to that same message that all the believers in this room had to respond to, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you will come into unity and harmony with us, and you'll have this joy that surpasses all understanding, where people have no clue how you can rejoice when all they can do is cry, how you can rejoice when all they can do is have fear. Today's the day. Now, be at it today. He died for you yesterday so you could be at it today. I don't care what you did last week. I don't care what you did last night. I don't care what you did this morning. He died for you so you could be at it today. So be at it today. Amen? Let's stand up and sing.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock in Brownsburg, Indiana. If you want any more information about our church family, our pastor, or where we meet, please visit our website, www.churchontherockbb.com.